Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everyone to another study. Hope you will find this informative and interesting and very helpful. Today is April the 13th, 2024, and I am Rick Sterling. I started Spirit of Truth Ministry a little over 30 years ago and have come a long, long way in understanding since the time I started this ministry. I am here again in my study, doing this broadcast from my cell phone, so I don't have all of the music, and I'm not able to see if you have a question or something to send in. I do encourage you to use the email if you have a question or you want to make a comment. The Spirit of Truth Ministry at gmail.com. And what we've been taking a look at and studying over the past few weeks is, I hope, making some sense of what is happening in the world right now. I could safely say that life as I knew it, the way that I was living in this world and experiencing this world and the things that were happening, have taken a dramatic change just in the last 4 years. There was kind of a gradual movement toward what we're seeing now, but then it seems like the other side, the side that wants to force a despotic, totalitarian, communist type system with a dictator oligarch. The group that is trying to make that happen seems to be acting with some desperation. We see war. We see rumor of war. We see threat of possible nuclear annihilation. We see countries doing horrific things to other countries. We see people doing horrific things to other people. But I also see people helping other people, encouraging them, informing them, so that they won't be caught by surprise and panic when this current system comes to its ultimate and final end. And that's what I have been sharing for a few years now. And so just a brief explanation, kind of putting all of this together. I think it's easier when we can take a look at where, from where we have come and to where we're going. So let's have prayer and we'll get started with our study. Father, Mother, and Brother, hallowed be your name. We come in prayer to ask that you will give us insight and understanding with truth, with reality. Give us the will and the ability to incorporate the truth into our intellect, our mind, our life. Help us to understand it and know it and be able to share it with others, which is your will. Help us to show others the way to receive the kingdom, to be a light in the darkness. Please keep us safe in your excellent care as we go through this transition and see you triumph over the evil one, over sin, over darkness. Oh, we love you. I want to start this little bringing up to date, putting this together, and then we'll take a look at the future. In Genesis 3:15, what I see there is God Almighty declaring war on the serpent, who had just successfully won the first battle by coercing, convincing, whatever you want to call it, the woman and the man to believe that the God who created them, whom they had seen, said that they were free to eat from any tree in the garden except for the tree in the middle of the garden. They were never to eat from the tree of learning the knowledge of good and evil. And instead of trusting in the word of their creator and obeying that word, they trusted the word of the serpent and obeyed and acted on his word. And the man and the woman were to be put to death on that day, but they were not. Now, we are told that, well, they started to die. That day they started to die. They became mortal. But I know that not to be true. They were created mortal because they were created from the dust of the earth, flesh and blood, mortal. When God planted the garden, he also planted the tree of life in the garden. And as long as the man and woman did not eat from the forbidden tree, they would be able to live forever as long as they had access to the tree of life. So when God was talking to all three involved beings, the man, the woman, and the serpent, in verse 15 of Genesis 3, we see the declaration of war. I will make you enemies of each other, you, the serpent, and the woman, not the woman Eve, your offspring, the offspring of the serpent, and her offspring, the offspring of the woman. It will crush your head, the offspring of the woman, and you will strike its heel, the serpent. So what we have here is the people of the world will have two births. They will have the birth from their human flesh and blood mother, and they will have the birth of their spiritual mother. That is why the Son of God told Nicodemus that except a man is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what does the kingdom of God, what is the importance of the kingdom of God? Well, when you think about it, when a nation goes to war, does it go to war with itself? or does it go to war with another nation? Now, you might say, well, when there's an insurrection in a nation, then it would be at war with itself. But what would cause the insurrection? Would it be trying to remove a despot who had taken control of the country? And would that actually truly be a war with itself? Or would that be a nation defending itself against an occupying power trying to take over that nation? This war is similar to that. The serpent, the devil, and Satan decided that he was going to take this world from God. Now, he hadn't created it. He hadn't created anything in it or on it or above it. What he set about to take over were the people. And to do that, he needed to turn the people or separate the people completely from God. Plan for that was to fill their spirit with lies, completely and totally. So they lived their life according to his word and not God's word. So, truth and lies. Is God able to use people who believe lies to fight on the side of truth? People who may have some truth but some lies. And what is actually, how is this war actually being conducted? It's certainly not in the conventional sense where one side is taking the life of another side, although Satan does use people who are telling the truth. He sets about to shut them up. And many times that is by taking their life. Truth never needs to defend itself. Lies, on the other hand, need to defend itself by removing or obscuring the truth. So the woman in Revelation 15 is the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. And her offspring are the offspring of truth. And when they are born of the woman, completed their developmental process, which is incorporating the truth into their soul. Much as a embryo develops in the womb of its mother physically, the person develops with the through their mother's soul that is filled with truth. And when it is, they are born from above. See, lies do not come from the heavens. Lies come from the earth, where Satan dwells, where the lies dwell. Born from above are filled with the truth. And although they are here in the world, they are no longer of the world. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, is a statement of Thor consists of John 8, 31 and 32 starts out, to the Jews that had believed in him, Jesus said, say here that he's saying to all those who say they believe in him, he says this, if you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciple, his word, no one else's word, his word. You will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free, free from lies, free from sin, free from the devil, free from all that is worldly, decaying, and will see its end. He also makes the statement about who the offspring of the devil or the serpent are. In verse 42 of John 8, he says this, if God were your father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? In other words, you can't take my word in, my word of truth. You know why you can't take it in, receive it? It is because you are unable to understand my language. You don't see my word as truth because it conflicts with what you believe the truth is. I have seen this and experienced this with people many, many times. It's hard for me to understand why they can't see that this is the truth, except that they prefer to believe what they have always believed. And that's the lie. They have been taught lies. They are comfortable with the lies. And they believe that as long as they express love for God or obedience to God, that's all they need. They don't need to get into the particulars of truth and lies. The devil is your father, he goes on to say to them. Prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he's drawing on his own store because he is a liar and the father of lies. But as for me, I speak the truth. And for that very reason, you do not believe me. Can one of you convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? A child of God listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not. I think I know. He makes that very clear. Offspring of the serpent, offspring of the woman. Offspring of the serpent are offspring of the devil. Spiritual offspring of the devil. And offspring of the woman are the spiritual offspring of God, born from above, born of the Holy Spirit, the woman of Revelation 12. So the good news gospel of the kingdom is the truth. There's no lie that can be found in the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is the word of God, the truth, and you do not believe me. A child of God listens to the words of God. And that word listen means the person is open to hearing the word of God. And the truth will always give clear understanding when it isn't being tested by a lie. Because a lie is always a lie. And the Son of God uses the word prefer. Preference. What do you prefer to believe? The lie or the truth? If you prefer to believe the lie, then you immediately expunge the truth. As soon as you hear it, it's in one ear and out the other. The final judgment is determined upon whom you choose to believe. Do you believe God and the truth? Or do you believe Satan and the lies? Yesterday, I didn't give you the verses that talk about the Son of God and what he did. It's in two places, chapter 4 and chapter 10 of Matthew. I'll read this from chapter 4, and it's verses 23 through 25. He, the Son of God, round the whole of Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. So when the Son of God says this gospel, good news of the kingdom, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, the understanding of that has been that what God is waiting for is for the gospel that the Son of God proclaimed to us throughout the whole world, every nation. And then the end will come. The problem that God has, those who took that declaration and have been working to get the quote-unquote gospel around the world to every nation with the expectation that as soon as every human being on earth heard the gospel, the good news of the kingdom is the testimony of Jesus. All the devil needed to do was to replace his testimony with something that sounded good, sounded right, something that oozed love and acceptance, that dismissed sin as a kind of a reality of being a flesh and blood human. And so you really could never escape it. You were born with it, you lived with it, and so it boiled down to love, and God wouldn't judge you as long as you loved. We'll talk about the judgment in a bit, but what does God say? If he wants us to know, to learn and to know the truth, and that learning the truth and living the truth is what is going to ultimately give him the kingdom he needs on earth to defeat the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of the devil. And the devil knows this. So he has the perfect foil. Did in the garden. It worked great then, and then it's still working today. It's probably the greatest lie that has ever been told. If you disobey God, he won't put you to death. If you trust God's word, he won't put you to death. God, on the other hand, has given us assurances that we can trust by telling us that the word that he has sent to us through his servants, Moses and his son, are trustworthy and reliable because he is God Almighty. And when he sends his word to do work with instructions, those words can be trusted. It doesn't matter how old they are and how many different translations they have gone through. God preserving. because they were sent for a specific purpose, and that was to develop a kingdom of God on earth so that God could defeat the kingdom of the devil. God cannot use the kingdom of the devil to defeat the kingdom of the devil. Remember, this is not a conventional war with conventional warfare. A war of words, lying words and words of truth. In Matthew 17. And what is interesting, and I know that you know this, anytime. I want it to be automatic for you. Because the reality of the end that we have all been play out with massive destruction and terrible distress, a great, horrific tribulation time that will ultimately conclude with the return of the king, and with him his father and his mother. But like I have said in the case of Nineveh, God does not purpose destruction if there is any other way of accomplishing what he needs accomplished. What he said to Jonah on that 41st day, when Jonah was pouting, angry, feeling used, and God said, Jonah, don't you care about people? Do you think that I wanted to destroy the people of Nineveh? They didn't know that they had reached a point where they were all going to be destroyed, that I would have to do it. They didn't know their right hand from their left as far as the reality of the true God is concerned. So I sent you to inform them that I was going to destroy them, and they had a change of heart. They humbled themselves from the king to the stable boy. They humbled themselves and asked for life, asked not to be destroyed. That's why I didn't destroy them. Matthew 17, verse 11. True, he replied, Son of God, Elijah is to come to see that everything is once more as it should be. Elijah, type prophet, is coming. And when he does come, he will see that everything is once more as it should be. The Elijah type prophet is a type of Jonah prophet, informing the world that their end is near. To Revelation chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 3. This is the revelation given by God to Jesus Christ so that he could tell his servants about the things which are now to take place very soon. And John has written it down, everything he saw, and swears it is the word of God guaranteed by Jesus Christ. Happy the man who reads this prophecy, and happy those who listen to him, if they treasure all that it says, because the time is. So in those three verses, we see the progress that ultimately, the progress of information which ultimately ends up with the person responsible for giving it to the people, fellow servants. God the Father to his Son. His Son gave it to his angel. His angel gave it to John. And then in verse 3, you see there is a man who reads it. So from the Father to the Son to his angel to John to the man who reads it, and he gives it to others, fellow servants. And it says, if they treasure all it says, because the time is close. So if we go to Matthew chapter 24:43. So stay awake, because you do not know the day your master is coming. You must be quite sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the burglar would come, he would have stayed awake and would not have allowed anyone to break through the wall of his house. Therefore, you too must stand ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So in those words, that information, what we're told is, it's important to stay awake. And that who is the one, the head of the house, who, if he's awake, will be ready when his master returns like a thief in the night. Remember that. Verse 45. What sort of servant then is trustworthy and wise enough for the master to place him over his household? So this is talking about one individual, that one who's the head of the house. And who is it? How would it come about that his master would put him over his fellow servants in the household to give them their food at the proper time? Happy that servant whose master finds him at this employment when he returns. Tell you solemnly, he will place him over everything he owns. So in Revelation 1:3, we're told that happy the man who reads this prophecy, be those who listen to him. I see that verse 3 of Revelation 1 is explained by Matthew 24:42, basically 42 to 51, although that includes if that servant is wicked. Revelation contains two realities. One reality is very clear. It's the Great Tribulation. Well, what if that servant is trustworthy and wise enough? What if he continues feeding his fellow servants, continues giving them insight into the reality of the end? Would that not be like Jonah and what Jonah did, claiming that God was going to destroy the whole city and everybody in it in 40 days, and they had a change of heart, and God didn't destroy them? I think that that's what we're seeing, that are not wicked. Well, they believe the lies, but they're not wicked. They haven't had the chance to really make that decision as to the truth and lies. They will. So, in Revelation 20, and the Revelation 20, starting with verse 1. Then I saw an angel come down from heaven with the key of the abyss in his hand and an enormous chain. He overpowered the dragon, that great serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and chained him up for 1,000 years. He threw him in the abyss and shut the entrance and sealed it over him to make sure that he would not deceive the nations again until the 1,000 years had passed. At the end of that time, he must be released only for a short while. Then I saw some thrones, and I saw those who were given power as judges take their seats on them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for having witnessed for Jesus and for having preached God's word, and those who refused to worship the beast or his statue and would not have the hand mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were over. Happy and blessed are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death cannot affect them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, the first part is interesting to me in that it appears that the 1,000-year period starts with the imprisonment of the devil so that he no longer has access to the people of the world. And while there will not be those who have gone through the Great Tribulation, as it talks about those who lost their life in the Great Tribulation, will be resurrected. There will be a resurrection at the start of the 1,000 years. And it will be the first resurrection. The resurrection where those who were not wicked will be raised to go through the 1,000 years. That's how I understand it at this point in time. I think that I'm pretty sure that a clear description of what will happen during the 1,000 years is given by Revelation 10. Coming like a thief in the night is the return of the king during a time when nobody expects him. Like right now. It could happen right now, today. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying that that's how the coming would be. When we read in Revelation 16, Bull of Wrath, when the kings of the earth had been gathered together for the great battle, where it says, this is how it will be. I shall come like a thief. Happy the man who has stayed awake and has not taken off his clothes so that he does not go out naked and expose his shame. That would be his coming like a thief, right? And inserted into that sixth bowl of wrath war, which the sixth bowl of wrath war happens, would happen after the end of the Great Tribulation, but we're not going through the Great Tribulation. But we do see the kings of the earth being gathered together for war right now. Could that possibly be the alternate reality of when he comes like a thief? It could. I'm not saying that it is. It could be. I do think, though, that when he comes, he will give the information that the seven thunders gave and John heard, and he was about to write down, and he was told not to write it down because the time for that information had not come yet. There is information that will be given concerning our alternate future. And so we are in the days of Elijah, the last days. And I expect to see something happen very soon. These are the days of Elijah. God bless and have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.